take your time with this decision. It's one of the most important decisions you will make as you build your short-term rental portfolio. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday, my main man, Jake Sheehy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How you doing, buddy?
Man, it's a great day to be alive.
Great day to be alive. I love starting these episodes like that. Yes. Always makes me happy.
Thanksgiving week, man. Hope everyone's going to have a great Thanksgiving. This is coming out the day before Thanksgiving, so hopefully everyone's happy and having a great time with family and friends and whatever they're doing. Awesome. Eating good.
Yeah, awesome. We're recording this a titch early because you're leaving. You're leaving out of town. Yeah. You're going to be gone for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Eating chopsticks and hot pot, man. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Will they do the turkey dinner?
So no turkey dinner, no ham, apparently. Apparently, it's hot pot. Apparently, it's like a bowl of broth, and you put meats into it with chopsticks. Right. So that's what I'll be doing, man.
And we're going to
Virginia.
Virginia.
Yes, sir.
Outside of D.C. Mm-hmm. With the girlfriend's family, who is Chinese.
Yeah.
And so they're going to be
we'll be doing a different style.
You're doing a different style than the old turkey dinner.
Mm-hmm. No pies. Instead of pies, you get bao buns.
Hey, you
get dumplings.
Hey, listen, that's a see to me that's a like I'd be a little bit stressed because I love trying something new. I love like seeing a different side of the coin and would love to be immersed into that Chinese culture with. I don't know that I want to do it on Thanksgiving, though.
Yeah, that was kind of my point as well.
I like Thanksgiving dinner.
I love Thanksgiving food, man. The sweet potatoes, the turkey, the ham, the stuffing, the casseroles, mac and cheese.
Well, you need to invite them over, and you got to cook one up for them at some point then.
Yeah, we made it. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good
point. Need to do that, but that'll be fun.
It'll be something new. So that's what we're doing. But today's episode, huh?
Let's get into it.
This is the hook. This is the title I came up with. Why I happily lose thousands of dollars on my Airbnbs.
And then we're going to. Seems like clickbait to me, bro. Huh?
Yeah.
I don't like losing money.
I know.
What are we talking about?
That's the point. Get them in. All right. But okay, hold on. I totally forgot. We got a shout out. I saw these two members right here. They got their new properties. Mm-hmm. We got Anthony Guerra and was this Bradenton, Florida? Amazing property. Looks Love fantastic. It. Then we have Brett Holberg. It looks like Panama City Beach. He just came out with his property as well.
Awesome. Amazing. Both beautiful properties. Amazing design. Mm-hmm. Anthony's got that unbelievable outdoor living space. Going to be a lot of fun there in Bradenton. And then Brett really dove all in Panama City Beach.
Yeah.
I love that game room Brett has. Mm-hmm. Kind of the under the pier type of a vibe, which is a lot of fun. So guys, we always, we're gonna start posting these in the show notes, right?
Yes, sir. All these shout outs
are gonna be posted in the show notes. So you can go check out what successful short-term rental investors are doing and success leaves clues. Go reverse engineer some of that stuff. So good job, Brett. Good job, Anthony. Super excited to see how these ones perform for you.
Yeah, great job guys. Love it. Okay. The losing the money, the clickbait thing. All about property management, right?
All right.
Let's get into this. I guess we have pros, cons, the cost, how to find the right one, what you should expect, when should you fire them, or if what that even looks like, why you would fire them, factors that play into whether or not you should go with it, and then of course, are there better options instead of going with like a big name person, maybe like kids or family, diving into those. So first off, pros. In your opinion, I feel like I know pros, saving time, but what are some pros of property managers?
Yeah, so the biggest one is the time savings, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to ultimately set these properties up to be passive investments. Mm-hmm. There's a saying out there when you invest in real estate and everybody talks about passive income, that real estate investing is anything but passive income. Short-term rentals would even take that to another level because a lot of people manage their own properties and it's not passive. Mm-hmm. And it is. So for me, I'm trying to build a passive investment portfolio. And the only way to do that is to get the right team members in place, the right structure in place, and management is part of that so that I'm not having to deliver that experience, communicate with my guests, deal with the bookings, deal with all that kind of stuff on a regular basis. I hire property managers to help us with that. Mm-hmm. And now there's a large cost to that. So which goes to your, cons. Hey, how am I losing money here? Mm-hmm. Because it is a commitment to say, hey, listen, I am going to pay a significant amount to somebody else. Usually 20 to 30% of our top line gross revenue goes to our property manager. That's a lot of money. I am one of the only trainers, maybe the only one out there that I know of that publicly talks about and suggests that most people should hire property managers in their portfolio. The reason you don't hear this very often is because when you're running numbers and you're running pro formas and you remove 30% of your top line revenue, it doesn't look as good if I'm showing you projections without that removed, right?
30% is crazy.
But it's crazy. But this is the thing. Walk into it with your eyes wide open. Underwrite it correctly, because most people who are buying short-term rentals, specifically people like me who are saying, hey, listen, I run businesses. I have a portfolio of stuff. I don't necessarily want to take my time to do this. And I feel like I get a better return on my time doing something else. And so I'm going to choose and say, while it costs me 20 or 30% of my top line revenue per property, I find that I'm still getting a better return by paying that and freeing up myself to do other things, go acquire other properties, underwrite other properties, set other properties up, build that portfolio, go to my active income sources, my other businesses, and run Vodacy and help and do some of this stuff. So I'm gonna spend my time and effort in places where I get a better return for that and pay somebody else to do what they do best. And a lot of times that is property management. Now, I will say, it is by far the Achilles heel of the business. It is very hard to find property managers that are going to fit the bill of what we consider the right partner for us. And so I understand and I get the argument of saying, hey, listen, you're probably better off managing your own properties. That's okay to say that as long as somebody has the time to do it. And now when you calculate the actual time it takes to do these types of, to be a good property manager, a lot of times because of the systems and the software tools and everything else, a lot of stuff is very automated. A lot of stuff is done kind of for you and you don't have to worry about it. But it's the key to this is all of those scheduled things are automated. It's not that hard to schedule something in your calendar and be able to go do it, even if you're doing it manually. The issue with property management for me is I'm not always available at everybody's beck and call. Like I have a very regimented schedule. I have a very tight like schedule every single day. And so for me, if I have a guest or a consumer that's in my property, staying in our property, and they have an issue or they have a problem, that property manager has to be available to address that problem right then. If somebody's locked out of my property, it doesn't, they're not real happy when I say, hey, sorry, I was tied up the last 4 hours in meetings and you were standing outside in the rain and couldn't get in the property. So even though I understand the argument of it only takes us 5 hours a week, 10 hours a week, it doesn't take us that long to manage the property. The issue is, it doesn't those 5 hours don't necessarily fit into your schedule or my schedule specifically to say it's going to happen on 2 o'clock on a Tuesday and keep that open for guest responses and communication. So you have to have a fairly flexible schedule if you want to be a good property manager, in my opinion, because now other people argue, well, that's, we don't need to be at everybody's beck and call. And I would beg to differ. Our property managers, they are a 24/7 concierge, and it elevates the guest experience. And that is what we're looking for. Now, you may choose not to do that if you're property managing your own property. You want to save the money or not pay that 20 or 30% to a property manager. You're saying, hey, I'll take this on. And it's okay if I'm not quite available. That's okay. You can do that. But I promise you, I will crush you in those markets because we are 24/7 concierge on every single one of my properties. Not me, but I pay somebody to do that. And because we deliver such an amazing experience, it comes across in the reviews. It comes across in the customer experience. It comes across in being able to get repeat customers. And so they have a very good experience. We are in the experience business. We talk about this all the time. How do we create these properties that create these immersive experiences with the setup that we do, the artwork that we do? Some of these, like we were showing you Anthony and Brett's properties. You go look at these. These are like immersive experiences. Well, a major part of the guest experience is how that is all delivered, how it is communicated, how your manager, your concierge is treating you. If you have an issue, do they help? Are they available if you have a question? And for me, that is why I say not everybody is set up to be able to manage their own properties. And and you can make the choice. It's your choice. And lots of people make the choice of saying, hey, listen, I'm not available 24/7 and I don't need to be. Guests are going to not everything is an emergency. Not everything is a 911. And that's okay to have that attitude. But I promise you, our guests are getting a better experience when they do have that 24/7 concierge where we do treat everything as an emergency. Hey, listen, you're going to be able to get a hold of somebody at any time. Just if you can't turn the TV on and you want to watch TV, we want you to feel like, hey, that's important for us. We want you to be able to watch TV. So if you need to get a hold of us, you can at any time. So kind of long-winded on.
No, that was great. It got me some great stuff. I thought. I mean, the person may not think that it's like an emergency if you're doing the self-management, but I guarantee you the guest does. The guest thinks it's, that's why in like hotels, they put the phone in there. The second they can just pick up the phone and call the person. Everyone, their problem, they think it's an emergency. So that's huge. It also made me think of like the personality type of like someone who's a really good communicator and who can stay cool if somebody, I guess, is having an issue and they want to complain, and you got to be able to kind of bite that bullet. It takes a certain personality for that. But then my third point that I was really thinking about was when you're saying the 20 to 30% of revenue. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, is there a way to try and get it cheaper? You know, like 15%, but then it begs the question, Do you kind of get what you pay for?
A lot of times, yes. Yeah. Yep, okay. Exactly. There's property managers that you can go out there and do a hybrid approach at 10%. You can get some full service, or they air quotes if you can't. If you're listening to me, I just did air quotes on full service for 15%. Most of the time, it's not really a full service. It's getting somebody in there that's going to automate everything. They're not going to be that available. There is a lot going on. They are earning their money. And our job as a property owner and investor is to buy the right properties in the right areas, set them up to have this immersive experience for your guest. And then the property manager's job is to take that great property, that great experience that we curated and invested in, and deliver it to the guest every single time. And then they are adding to that experience with their communication. It's the number one thing that gets reviewed on is communication. And you will find good property managers or homes that have a really good host. You read the reviews, and that property manager or that host will be mentioned by name in probably 50 to 60% of the reviews. That's because that is what it's one of the number one things the guest is communicating on or judging us on how that experience was delivered. If you're sitting there wondering, hey, if I should get in this game, do I have time to property manage? And why would Sean say, I truly believe, even after all these years, that about 90%, 95% of people should not manage their own properties for a couple reasons. One, most people are not flexible enough to do it, and they're not going to do, you know, they're not going to be available kind of that 24/7, right? They're busy. There are a lot of times, right, we're in a capital intensive type of business. We're buying properties. We're spending a lot of money setting it up. Well, usually the people would have the money to do this kind of stuff are usually pretty busy in a full-time job. They usually have a lot of other stuff going on to be able to make that active income, put it in to build a portfolio. A lot of times you don't have time for a second job, right? And so maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you do, the next thing is I wouldn't suggest somebody property manage unless you are set up with that hospitality mindset. You touched on it a minute ago, where it is natural for us to buy properties and we love them and we set them up, and then somebody has a bad experience or somebody says something wrong, and we get defensive. We want to say, hey, no, you're wrong. This is why I'm right. We want to prove our point. And if your natural personality is to do that, and you're naturally going to get defensive, or you naturally want to explain why you're right and not wrong, even if you are right, it doesn't matter, right? At the end of the day, a lot of times it doesn't matter if you're right. It matters, how does that guest feel? And we need to take a step back. And if your natural personality is not that, you're probably not going to be a very good host. You're probably not going to love, like, you know, listening to the problems, helping them with, you know, if you're going to get frustrated because somebody calls you and they can't figure out how to turn on the TV, or they can't figure out how to turn off the fan because they're cold. And you're like, dude, the remote's right there. It says off, right? If your attitude is to be frustrated about that stuff, you're probably not going to be a good host, right? You know, your kid's game.
I don't think I would be a good host, man.
and I don't think a lot of people are. You have to say, okay, in a realistic situation, Those are the calls you're getting. And those are the calls that happen on a regular basis is how do I unlock this? How do I start the fire? How do I turn the TV on? How do I, it's usually not major panic things. If it is a major panic, you need to be able to solve it. A lot of times though, it's these little things, and those little things I have found really frustrate owners and hosts, and the guest feels like that, right? They're like, really, you're going to, I just stepped away from a dinner. I was at my kid's recital and I had to walk away because you can't turn on the TV.
Yeah.
Like if you have that attitude, you're probably not going to be a good host. So hire somebody that is, because guess what? There's people out there that are really good at being like, oh man, Jake, I'm glad you called me. That, I know it can be confusing. I know that can be hard to turn on. I don't know why they make it like this, but here's how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you, and then next day you have to say the same thing. Now, I wish that more people would talk about the pros and the cons of self-managing. Now, there is a lot of economies of scale when it comes to management. And there are reasons why you may want to build your own management team or not just pay 20 or 30%. Let's say you have a very regional portfolio. Okay. You have a portfolio in one area and you have four or five homes. And this is a perfect, I'm giving you this example because we have a member in this situation. They've got four homes in one specific area. The homes are high-end homes, bringing in a decent amount of money. They're bringing in $1.6 million gross on four homes. You take 30% off of that, take 20% off of that. That's a lot of money. You're paying somebody $300,000 to manage those homes. So you, in their head, they're saying, hey, it's only four homes. We could probably hire somebody or just hire somebody full time for a fraction of that. And even if they don't want to manage them themselves and save that, you know, probably a couple hundred grand, which is what they did. They're like, hey, listen, how do we do this? Well, we go hire somebody to do that. They happen to hire their daughter and their daughter's not, you know, they're not paying 20% off the top or 30% off the top. They're paying a salary and it's a really nice salary for a really, you know, their daughter who's pretty young, just getting into the workplace, and it's saving them a grundle of money. They have that personal touch, that personal, because you will always care about your property more than a property manager. You are always going to. So for those members or the I call them members in our Vodacy family, but those hosts that are thinking about property management and you feel like you're set up for it and you feel like you've got the right personality and it's not motivated by just trying to save money, because ultimately you're going to resent it if you're not set up for it. And you are in that position to do it. They do a better job than almost any property manager out there, because it's their property. It's they want to deliver this top experience every single time. They take great pride in it. You know, a huge percentage of our 1% club, our wall of fame with our 1% club members, they self-manage. And they do an amazing job of delivering a great experience. And most of the time they will do a better job than most managers ever will. And so I'm not saying that it's not sometimes a better option if all of the cards line up and stack up, and it can be an amazing road to run down, because you can really accelerate and expand and maximize that performance of your portfolio because there's that personal touch that you do such an amazing job of doing.
I love it. Okay. So we've touched on who should do it, right? The person with the personality type that's willing to step away from those events. Maybe it's July 4th, their air conditioning went out and you have to now step away from your friends and family. We know who should do it. Now let's talk about who shouldn't do it more. And I'm talking more on someone wants to save the money, right? Instead of hiring their daughter, they go, man, we have this family friend who's like super nice. Should we get them to do it? How about a property manager? Does ever worry if they go, we have 45 properties in our portfolio. Do you go, oof, that's too many. I don't know if you're going to give my property the amount of time and attention it needs. Are there certain things that you stick out to you go, no, don't go with that person?
Yeah. So let's say, so going back, like the question of not who shouldn't do it necessarily is who should we hire?
Right.
And who would not be the right fit, right? So when I'm going down and hiring, I always tell people that it's a painful process. It is not a process I like. I would say 80 to sometimes 90% of the property managers that we interview, the co-hosts that we interview, are not going to be the right fit for us. And many times, I almost never, I don't say almost never, I never personally go with anybody that has a portfolio larger than 100 homes. And like, I don't know that I ever have.
100 homes?
Usually I'm looking for 10 to 20 homes in that small boutique property manager, because the business model that I'm trying to do, right? My business model is maximizing individual assets. A property manager that their business, and nothing wrong for those of you that are property managers, you should try to manage more than 100 homes or 200, however many you want in your portfolio. It's a good business model. I'm not saying it's not a good business model for you mm-hmm. as a property manager. Those of you that are listening, I'm saying for me as a host, your business model doesn't necessarily always fit with mine, because when you start to get bigger, you need to have certain SOPs in place and all these standard operating procedures when it comes to listing postings, your pricing, your photography, every aspect of trying to get that property booked, your communication. If you've got 100 properties, it's pretty hard to be a 24/7 concierge unless you've got a large team, right?
Right,
and so,
exactly, yeah.
And even if you do have a large team, they probably don't know the property very well. And so it's very generalized advice. And you have to kind of standardize your portfolio across the board. Well, if we're trying to maximize individual assets, the last thing I want to do is standardize everything I'm doing, right? Because if I standardize, I become a commodity.
Right.
And the guest doesn't know the difference between, you know, me or somebody else. We're all the same, right? And so naturally, just right out of the gate, my first layer of filtering property managers is I'm looking for the small ones. I'm looking for the ones that probably don't have great marketing on the front end. They might not even have good websites. They've got a small portfolio. How I find them is I go into markets and I look for the top revenue type properties. You will find that almost all of your top revenue properties either are self-managed or small boutique managers. They're not the big large companies, because the big large companies are getting their fair share of business. Well, your fair share of business is not sitting at the top of the market. Your fair share of business is in the middle of the markets, right? And so we go find these small boutique managers, co-hosts that are doing a good job of operating at the top of the market. If you only have 10 properties in your portfolio, you have to maximize each individual property. You have to be diligent about making and squeezing the most amount of juice out of every property, or you don't make any money. And so you are willing to say, hey, listen, I've got the time to kind of maximize individual properties, put quality assets in my portfolio. But also the things that we ask our property managers to do, there's three non-negotiables that we're looking for a property manager. And then we have a whole list of interview questions that's probably 15 or 20 long, and they can all kind of filter in. They're not non-negotiables. There's three non-negotiables. And a lot of times they don't fit in to just the standard model. One, I want to be able to get my own photography. I want my own photo shoot because it's the most important marketing assets I have. And most everybody's just going to do a real estate photo shoot. We don't. We do lifestyle photo shoots and we spend a lot of money on them. So I want to make sure that they're okay with that. You'd be shocked at how many property managers. Why? Exactly. You would think, why would they?
It's many of them. Property.
But many of them, especially if I have 50 properties or 100 properties and all of a sudden I have this one property that is outperforming everybody else and standing out. Guess what? Guess who starts to call me? All my other properties in the market. And they're saying, well, why don't you do that for me? And then they have to say, well, we didn't do that for them either. They did that on their own. Well, I didn't know I could do that on my own. Can I like, so, right? It creates problems for them as a property manager, because when you show your whole portfolio or you're on their direct booking sites, right? Yeah, they put our properties on their sites and all of a sudden we have this one property that stands out like a sore thumb because it looks different design, it's got different photography, all this stuff.
Right.
It raises a lot of questions for them in their portfolio across the board, right? So a lot of them actually resist it just for that reason. So one, I want to make sure I can get my own photos. Two, I want to have a say on my pricing. I don't want to micromanage my pricing, but I definitely want to have a floor on what we're able to charge or our pricing strategy, depending on whether we're in the launch phase, whether we're in the optimize phase, or whether we're in the maximize phase. And I have very different strategies through those different phases on pricing. And I want to be able to have that conversation, because what I found is most property managers is they're just going to plug it into a Price Labs or any Wheelhouse or Beyond Pricing or some form of price optimization, and they're going to let that do their pricing. There's things that we want to tweak along the way to maximize the dollars that we're making during different phases.
Right.
So I want to have a say on that. I want to be able to talk to them about that strategy, and I want them to be okay with that strategy for our property.
Okay.
And then the third is, how do I get direct bookings? How can I give you business? Because I'm going to run some ads. I'm going to run some of my own direct bookings. And a lot of property managers don't want you to do that. Now, I'm still going to pay them for that. But I want to make sure they've got a process for if you come to me on my website, you want to book the property. I say, awesome, Jake, I've got you booked. I'm going to send you over to Serena and she's going to finalize the booking. Serena needs to have a way for me to hand that off. She can now take it, because I want to do direct bookings, but I'm okay with the marketing. I'm okay with getting that business, getting somebody to say yes to, I want to book that property. But from then on, I know that I'm not going to be the person that's hosting them. I know that I'm not going to be communicating. So I need to have a handoff.
Right.
Those three things are really important to me because those three levers I can pull to maximize our revenue on the back end.
Right.
So it's really important that I have a property manager that is okay with that and understands what we're trying to do because you want to both, it needs to work for both of you. And it's okay if it doesn't.
Mm.
And so just like when you have if you're an employer and you're hiring an employee and you're filling in a new position,
right?
And you go through the resumes and you go through the interviews, and the longer you take to do that, the more people that you talk to, the better chance you have of finding the right one, right? Even if you talk to the right one the very first time, you need to validate it by having a whole bunch of other conversations, right?
Yeah.
It's no different with property managers. There's certain things we're looking for. We've been doing it for a long time. And so we've kind of iterated along the way of, okay, that's not that important. This is really important. Here's a problem we had in the past on being able to pull this lever. And so we've kind of refined the process of what's important to us. And it's not a laundry list of 20 things. It's three things. And beyond that, because I don't ask my property manager to do the marketing for me. What I ask them to do, marketing is about three things: attract a customer, convert a customer, retain a customer.
Right.
They are going to help me retain customers, right? I'm going to do everything I need to do to attract and convert. That comes down to the setup of the property, the photography that I get, the pricing that we get.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they're there, they need to do an amazing job delivering it so people want to keep coming back. And so they are a huge part of my marketing, but not the front end marketing, what most people think. Like most people are calling their property manager saying, hey, I'm not getting any bookings. What can you do to market it better? Can you do direct bookings? What can you do here? You're not doing a good job there. And I look at their listing, I said, it's not the property manager. You don't have an offer that converts. You're not putting an offer out there that the consumer wants. It has nothing to do with your property manager.
That makes total sense. I love. Why would the property manager not want you to run ads or market it on the front end? Doesn't that just get them more business?
Well, it does, but you have to understand, like just like everything else, rules and procedures and all these different things are written to. Because of the masses, right? Because of the average.
Okay.
You have not very many people do a very good job of direct booking. And not very many people, and a lot of people can screw up what the property manager is trying to do by not running the right advertising, by attracting the wrong people, all of those different things. So a lot of them are just saying, hey, listen, just let us take care of this. You're muddy in the water. You're making my job harder. And they are right most of the time.
And dang.
So it's what's really important is somebody was asking us about Airbnb. And I always say, hey, listen, don't go with their standardized photo tour. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, every time we have a member that launches this amazing properties, and then you have the standardized photo tours, takes you in the living room, takes you all through this area. And I say, don't do that. Get your custom photo tour that you can walk that person, that guest through the property, or the potential guest through the property, the way you want them to see it. And somebody in our group said, where's the data to show that? And isn't Airbnb pretty smart that they're going to put the photo tour in the way that is going to be most beneficial for the, you know, most properties so that the consumer is going to book. And yes, they're right. And so why would I do it different? Because we're not average.
Right.
They're going to
Your
set
property
it up.
Isn't the same.
Most properties,
yeah.
It is, Airbnb is like, hey, listen, we're going to standardize this walkthrough of the property. We're going to start in the living room. We're going to go to the kitchen. We're going to go to the bedrooms. We're going to go outside, blah, blah, blah. They're going to standardize this walkthrough, right? And for 95% of the properties, that's the best way to do it. You leave it to the devices of most hosts. They could have this crazy walkthrough and it doesn't make sense to the consumer and it hurts their chances of converting. Airbnb is like, hey, we're going to standardize this so that it helps the majority of the people actually have more of a standard approach and a conversion process. For those people like us who we say, hey, listen, we want to maximize and we're doing a lot of different things to do that.
Right.
We want to be able to take them through the exact way I want to show them. And I'm going to have features that I want them to see first. And I'm going to have different highlights of properties and things that I'm doing that I want them to see and hook them in and really get them engaged into my listing and then take them through that walkthrough the way we want them to. And we start with our best foot forward. Sometimes, what if your best foot forward, we're just looking at Anthony's property. He's got an amazing outdoor living space.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't even see this on a standard Airbnb listing.
Right.
If you clicked on that, you wouldn't see that until the very end of the listing. Well, you might lose their interest because what if his living room's not that cool and it kind of looks like everybody else's living room? What if his bedrooms do? I know they don't, but what if they did?
Right.
And you didn't get to the best part of the listing and the consumer never even saw your best stuff. you know? And so right. I want to start outside. I want right. to start outside at the pool and the pickleball court and the yeah. golf simulator and all this different things before I even go inside, because I want to hook them in and get them interested. Mm. So it's kind of the same example of that is,
no, that makes sense.
Why wouldn't they do this? Well, they're doing what they think is best for the majority of the
right.
the experiences and the people that they've helped. Right. And most people just have really nice homes in nice areas that look like model homes. So they standardize their procedures for that.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay. That was some really good info. Okay. What does it look like when you have to break up or fire? Or I have zero idea what that looks like when it comes to the property manager. Maybe you've gotten two bad reviews. Your thing is tanking. The communication you're finding out is not the best. Do they take a percentage? Do they want something? Is it a clean slate cut? What does that even look like?
Yeah, well, you define that on the very front end, right?
Okay.
Exactly. What does my contract say? Okay. How long am I engaging them for? We do month to month on all of ours. And
oh, it's like a lease in a way. Like you sign up for like a year for a time period.
Yeah. You're okay. signing a service contract essentially. Hey, okay. listen, you're going to manage my property. We always do month to month on everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you do an amazing job. You're going to be with us for a long time. We don't like to make these moves, mm-hmm. but we do hire slow, fire fast. If there's right. a reason and it's going to come down mm-hmm. to those non-negotiables and it communication, cleanliness or non-negotiables. Right?
Right.
And so something happens in a house or something breaks or something goes on. Mm-hmm. Most of the time your reviews are not because the hot tub was broken and I didn't have hot water. Your review is usually the hot tub was broken. I called about it. They didn't care about it. I couldn't get a hold of them. Those types of things. And so those things can be a big deal. Cleanliness mm-hmm. is another one. If we're not, mm-hmm. if we're not double checking these properties and we get a bad review because it wasn't clean, like we don't have like, there's certain things that we just will move away from mm-hmm. really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's not something that like you solve 99% of the problems on the front end by having the right conversations and setting expectations correctly.
Mm.
And the expectation is not, here's my list of 20 questions and you better do everything I say. Mm. It needs to be a good fit both sides. You need to,
right.
like I might have a property manager and I'm asking them to do things outside of their regular operating procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like asking somebody to change. I need to recognize that and say,
right.
hey, listen,
right.
they might be a really good property manager. They might do a really good job, but if my way of doing business to optimize these properties doesn't align with what they're trying to do. I need to recognize that and I can alleviate a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, your moves are going to be because the expectations on the front end were not set clearly enough, right? And most of the time, it's not that the property manager, you know, did a really bad job on cleaning or, and, you know, if it is, it happens, right?
Right.
And you need to move on if they don't have that part right. of their process dialed in.
Uh-huh.
We had properties with wood floors. You get like those dust bunnies under beds
right.
constantly.
Right.
It doesn't matter where you're at.
Right.
And we had a property and we talked about that on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we showed up at the property. We were staying at the property. We looked under the bed and it's an inch thick of dust. And I called them and said, hey guys, I'm sad it came to this, but this is unacceptable. We talked about all this. Didn't happen. We're making a move and we're making a change. But most of the time, the issues are resolved on the front end and those conversations of how, you know, what are the rules of engagement? How are we going to do? What is my expectation? What is your expectation? What do I need to do to be a good client for you? It's one of the after our you know, three non-negotiables, really, that's the number one thing that we lead off with the conversation is we're really having this conversation to try to figure out how I can be your best client. I want to be the best property in your portfolio. And it's interesting when you lead with that, because that also gives you really good clues on if somebody is like, yeah, let's make you the number one property. Or you'll sometimes get, well, we want, you know, we've got a really nice portfolio that I think you're going to fit into. I always look at those things of fitting in and blending in or how they mention that instead of like, that just drives my like competitiveness nuts.
Mm.
I'm like, no, I want to be number one. Right. Mm-hmm. I want to be at the top and we're going to do everything we can to be at the top. I want you to be on the same team that we want to push this to the top.
Mm. Wow. Okay. So it gave me two more points thinking about, but let's stay on the cleanliness aspect. They're in charge of the cleaning people.
Yes.
Correct. So when you hire a property manager, they already have a cleaning service in place. Do you even go towards like meeting them or do you just go, all right, I trust who you got. This is my expectations.
Yeah.
And then just play.
I'm hiring a property manager to them and their job is to manage their team. Like they might have, you know, different hosts that are helping them. Mm-hmm. They might have communication directors. They have cleaners. They've got maintenance. I'm not
maintenance. Of, oh, they got stuff. All, yes. Okay. Wow.
So they're going to have somebody they need to call for like just regular handyman type stuff on a regular basis.
Wow.
And then they're going to have contacts when it comes to major systems like plumbing and electrical and heating and air. And they need to be able to have that team set up, but I'm not, I don't need to meet them. I mean, I'm just, you tell me, you know, it's like if somebody hires us at Vodacy and you do a really bad job at something, they don't call you, they call me.
I'm responsible for it.
And so.
Interesting. Okay. That makes sense. Now my last question here, I think is we have members, they have properties. Maybe they've been toying with the idea of whether or not they want to stick with their property manager or they want to save that 20% to 30%. And they think, well, man, we got kids. Let's let them do it. Is there a sweet spot maybe you've learned that around age 16 to 18, from 18 to 25, these are good? You know, do you want your kids talking to these people?
No, it's so dependent on the kid.
Right.
Right. I mean, I've talked to 15-year-olds that would be perfectly capable of it. And I've talked to 30-year-olds that should never talk to anyone. Right. And so it's not an age range. It's definitely the personality, the kid, I'm being very serious about that. Like there's plenty of times I'd have no problem turning it over to somebody super young that could do an amazing job of that.
Okay.
If they're the right person.
The right fit for it.
And you will. Yeah. And I think all of us know and could relate to that there's there's plenty of people that are old enough and they should never be put in those positions either.
That's so good. All right. I think that's all I had. We went through the pros, the cons, the cost, interviewing, finding the right one, when to fire them, talking about kids and cleanliness, non-negotiables, the interview style. We talked about a lot of stuff. We're about 40 minutes. So good episode right there. Awesome. Did I miss anything? Is there anything else?
No, that's good. And take your time with this decision. It's one of the most important decisions you will make as you build your short-term rental portfolio. It's a big decision, whether you're going to do it yourself or whether you're going to hire somebody. If you're going to hire somebody, take the time to interview. You know, it's arguably, I don't know that you can make an argument that there's any other relationship that is more important than you and your property manager. There's no more important hire than you and your property manager long-term on the performance of your portfolio. And so really, Don't skim over this one. Don't, you know, it always is shocking to me that, you know, when I talk to certain owners, they're like, yeah, we're going to give this a try and see how it works. And, you know, maybe if it doesn't work, maybe I'll get a property manager or whatever, but we're going to try it. We're going to try to learn the business. I'm like, that's a hard, you know, way to, I mean, that's like living like on the seat of your pants and you jump into a big asset, a big decision. You start managing it. Maybe you like it. Maybe you don't. If you don't, all of a sudden you're used to 100% revenue, trading a little bit of time for money there. You got yourself a little side hustle. That money goes away because you got to hire somebody else. It's like this. It just doesn't always turn out to be great. It's one of those parts of the process. Like there's three major phases that we talk about. Acquisition gets talked about a lot. Management doesn't get talked about a whole lot of that being a major decision, and then marketing and really how you're navigating the acquisition side of this business, how you're navigating the management side of the business, and how you're navigating the marketing side of the business is going to dictate how you succeed, how this portfolio looks, whether it becomes an actual lifestyle asset for you that you actually enjoy building and owning, or whether it becomes a drain that you just resent, right? How many people are online right now? When you hear people that say, I gave the short-term rental world a shot and I didn't like it at all. Most of the time when you find out why they don't like it is because they manage the properties. They got in and they started managing these properties. And some of them had to manage it because they didn't underwrite it correctly, didn't have the revenue potential, they didn't do all these other things. So they felt like that was going to solve the problem, and it doesn't. It usually makes the problem a lot worse. So take the management decision really serious, give it some real thought, decide what you're trying to do. Because if you know that going into it, you're also underwriting properties a lot different. I always tell people, even if they're self-managing, underwrite at least 20% into the management as an expense. So that if you do decide that's not the right fit, you've already underwritten it and you know that property is still going to work and be profitable in that, you know, being able to go in and get full service management.
Say someone goes and they're working with somebody else and they see that they Should there certain things that you look for when you mentioned like a pro forma, I think you called it,
yeah.
And some people leave it out. Or is there a certain line or certain things it would normally be under?
Like yeah, if you so, see this, so, pro, so this is, yeah, is going down back to underwriting or analysis, property analysis. Yeah. It's just running all the numbers, right? We've seen the fancy spreadsheets online. Right. Everybody has them. But
right.
You know, what not a lot of people talk about is what inputs are you putting on those fancy spreadsheets?
Right,
you know, the spreadsheets
right.
themselves are just Excel spreadsheets, right? Uh-huh. Even if it's in a software tool, it's literally just adding and subtracting what you put on it.
Right.
And when we're looking at what is our cost in, right? How much is my down payment? How much rehab work is, you know, associated to that? How much money do I have to put on furnishings? Uh-huh. What does my debt service look like? So I'm looking at fixed and variable expenses on the expense side.
Oh, wow.
And one of the variable expenses that is often left out is management. And so we might say we're running revenue, and the reason it's variable is, you know, when it comes to cleaning, when it comes to management, when it comes to taxes, when it comes to service fees, all of those things are, they're a percentage of your revenue. And so like we were saying, if it's 20% of your revenue, I'm going to underwrite, or I'm going to project a certain amount of nightly rate and occupancy. It's going to give me an annual revenue range. Mm. And so if I'm making $100,000 on this property, my variable expenses, if I have 20% of property management in there, I'm going to have a line item of $20,000 right out of the gate is going to somebody else.
Wow.
So that $100,000, you're going to take out all your debt service. You're going to take out your variable expenses. You're going to take out your fixed expenses. Then you're going to look at what you have at the end of the day, and that's your operating income, right? So then all of a sudden, now I've got, what am I actually netting? So you hear a lot of times too online, you know, if property's making $100,000 and property's making $200,000. They're not making $200,000. Their gross revenue is $200,000. They're probably making, you know, maybe $15,000 or $20,000. Who knows? Like what it ends up being after you remove debt service, fixed expenses, variable expenses. Property management is a variable expense.
Wow. Okay. That was it. That's everything I have.
Okay. Let's wrap it up. You guys have a very happy Thanksgiving, whether you're eating Chinese food or whether you're eating chicken turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes. And, you know, I'm going to take a picture and send it to you.
I'm going
to
miss it, dude. I'm so excited to
show Nicole. You're going to have to show Nicole.
She loves normal Thanksgivings. But so we'll see, man. It's going to be a good time. It'll be a trip.
It's going to be fun. We hope you all have a very happy Thanksgiving and kicking off into the holiday season. You know, it's a nice fall day around here in Utah. So it fits the bill right now for Thanksgiving, doesn't it? And it's a lot of fun. And so go enjoy it. We appreciate you spending your time with us. It means a lot. Those of you that are listening and avid listeners of the show, you guys know we don't run ads or sponsorships on the show. The only way this grows is if you guys share it, like it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Go give us that review. If you have more than 30 seconds, those things help us a lot. For those platforms to share with other people that might be interested in these conversations. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.